Praise God. If you have your copy of God's Word this morning, we're going to go to a couple of places in Scripture this morning. We're going to go to Joel chapter 2, and I'm going to read a verse of Scripture there in Joel chapter 2, and then we're going to move on over into Mark chapter 3. And I want to read a few verses of Scripture there in Mark chapter 3. And we've been kind of in a series on grace, the power to change. And a lot of time we live in a day when grace has been, in some cases, misrepresented. Amen? And I think that the picture of grace in our culture today is kind of like this. It's like, do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. Be whatever you want to be. Act like you want to act. It's still all right. And so that's the picture of grace that we have in the hour that we live in. And we feel that people can do what they want to do, but don't have the responsibility to have to change in their life. In other words, they can serve God, but they can still do what they feel pleasure to do and what they like to do. Amen? Amen. Nobody agrees with that. So we're on our way this morning. I'll preach till this afternoon until we get it this morning. So I got the right crowd this morning, I think. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time, He is good. Joel chapter 2, I want to begin reading in verse 25. It says, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, and the chewing locusts." How many know there's many kind of locusts? It says, "My great army which I set among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame." Turn over to the book of Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. I want to begin reading in verse 1 in Mark chapter 3. "And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. And so they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, he said, 'Step forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?' But they kept silent. And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, he said, 'Stretch forth your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other." His hand was restored as whole as the other. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we serve a God who's a restoration God. And Father, we thank you that God, that you have given us the ability this morning to come into places of worship and, Lord, areas where we lack. You have the ability to restore those areas of our life back to right relationship with you. Many of us at times, God, have needed the restoration of God in our life. And so, Father, I pray this morning that, Father, that you'll just begin to prepare the ground, the heart, so that the seed of the Word of God can be set this morning. I pray, God, that it doesn't fall on shallow ground this morning. I pray that it doesn't fall on thorny ground this morning. I pray that it doesn't fall on wayside ground this morning, but that your word falls on good ground. That, Father, that it germinates and that it begins to change the heart of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to pray for a family, Gene Armel and his family. Their grandson got married back in May, and the best man in their wedding, committed suicide this week and took his own life this week. Absolutely, when they text me and told me that, I just got sick in my stomach thinking that the young man, 24 years old, would think that his life is over, to think that there's no other hope in his life, that his life is finished. How do you come to that place? And I want to tell you, folks, that should grieve every one of us. Everyone in this room, I want to tell you this morning, you're never at the place where God cannot bring restoration back into your life. You're never beyond where God can't reach you this morning. You're never beyond where God can't reach out and touch your life and pull you back and set you back on a rock again and give you hope again. And I just pray this morning that none of us come to that place to where we feel that life is over. But we've been talking about grace, the power to change. We all know that there's initial grace, which is saving grace. Hopefully most of you in this building this morning have experienced saving grace. Aren't you thankful for saving grace that saved your life this morning? And the blood of Jesus, the saving grace that changed us lives. We've been talking about grace, and we said that there's times that there are some times that God, through grace, changes our life in a moment. Sometimes in a moment, God can do something in our life. It's an act of grace. I've seen God put marriages back together just like that in a moment. I've seen God free drug addicts just like that in a moment. I've seen God set people free from addictions and from things that bound them in a moment like that. How many know it's good to see God move in a moment when He does that? Maybe some of you have seen God move in a moment in your life. And there's times that God does that. That's grace. And it doesn't always come that easily. Sometimes when God moves in our life and He applies grace to our life, it's not always in a moment. Matter of fact, a lot of the breakthroughs that I've got in my own life have not come in a moment, but they've came in the process of life, in the journey of life. And how many know that grace can be a journey in your life? If you've ever been walking with God long enough, how many know that through your walk with God, the journey that you've been on has been nothing but grace in your life? I don't know about you, but I can look back on my life and know that there's been areas of my life that have been nothing but grace. It's the process that God brings us through the journey. It's our walk. It's our grace walk. And some of you this morning, if it had not been for grace, where would you be this morning? And He does it that way because when He does it that way, God can accomplish what He wants to accomplish, because it's a lot of times God will do it in a moment, and although that's good, He can do that. But during the journey, that is where God does what He wants to accomplish in our life. It's in the journey that God begins to bring maturity into our Christian life. It's in the journey that change begins to take place in our life as we walk with God. I don't know about you, but I know in the course of my walk with God, I know that through that process of grace in my life, God accomplished what He wanted to accomplish in my life through my walk of grace, through my journey in my life. You say, well, why does God do it that way? God does it that way because He wants to strengthen you. I mean, you know, when you walk through the process of grace in your life, you're strengthened knowing that God had helped you walk through it. You become wiser on the other side. Some of us become wiser on the other side. It prepares you for your future. When you walk with God and you're on that journey of grace, it's a preparation. How many know God is always preparing you for something greater than where you are right now? And it's grace. God doesn't do things in your life just for fun. He does it because there's a purpose in your life. God has a purpose in your life. And He wants to fulfill that purpose in your life. So He prepares you for the future. God also gives you, through the process and the journey of grace, He gives you a testimony. Hallelujah. Now, am I going to preach to the wall this morning, or do I got some people in here that need a little bit of grace in their life this morning? Listen, the journey is God applying grace in our life. Why? For the testimony that God brings out of your life. How many of you, through as you've walked with God, there's a few testimonies that you have where God reached down in the midst of your mess and the midst of your trouble and brought you through and brought you out? That's grace in your life. That's the journey of grace. That's the preparation of grace. That's the testimony of grace in your life. And so grace is a process. It's a journey that God uses in order for preparation in your life. And if you've walked with God long enough, you know that as you walk this journey and as you go through this journey with God and this journey of grace, God does it. He does that journey, takes us through that journey because there's a greater purpose that He has for our life in the end of what He's doing. And so it's a journey of grace. If you don't believe grace is a process, all you have to do is look back 5 years in your life and see where you used to be and where God has brought you now. Look where you were 10 years ago and look now at your life and see where God has brought you and how you have grown in God and the things that you've learned and the things that He's brought maturity into your life back. I look back 20 years ago and think about what I used to be. I think, dear Jesus, I don't ever want to go back through that process again. How many want to start back over and go all the way back where you began and walk that thing again? I don't ever want to go through some of that stuff again. But it's the journey of grace. It's the journey that God gives us in order to give us the place where we can find a place for our purpose in life. We talked about Peter. And Peter, they found him in a boat fishing. He felt that it was over. He had denied Jesus. All Jesus was doing was taking Peter through the process of maturity in his life. And it was when Jesus came on the shore and Peter saw him. How many know that was an act of grace for Jesus to go find Peter who had walked away and decided he was going to go back fishing, what he used to do. But Jesus said this. He said, nuh-uh, big boy, you made a commitment to me. I'm going to hunt you down and find you, and you're not going to get away that easy. Listen, if you make a true commitment to God and you've walked with God, you don't get away with it that easy. God's going to find you. He's going to hunt you down. He's going to search you out. You may run back to the old life, but Jesus is going to find you, and He's going to find grace for your life. Peter experienced that. Peter found grace. It's what brought maturity in his life. It's what made him from being Simon into Peter, right? It's that process that God used in order to change his life and to bring change into his life. But what I've personally found out about God and found out about grace is that grace is in this process, I believe, is the key to the believer, is to understand this, is that the real battle is when we come to this message of grace is what the devil tries to hide and it tries to keep from us. An understanding of grace. If the devil can keep you from understanding what grace is in your life, He can keep you stuck where you are. If you never understand the process of grace, what happens is when you fail, you feel stuck, right? Am I the only one that's ever failed in here, right? When you mess up, you feel stuck, or you feel that you can't move on or move past or move to the next place that God has for you. The problem we have and sometimes is that we walk through stuff and we mess up. Or we walk through stuff and they become difficult. And what happens is because we don't understand grace, right? Y'all help me this morning. I'm going to wake y'all up. No banana pudding till we get through this thing this morning. Come on, this is a banana pudding Sunday. You're going to earn your banana pudding this morning. Right? Listen, God saved you, changed you. So the fact that when you walk through difficulty, though it's difficult, though it's a setback, God don't want you to remain there. And if you have an understanding of grace this morning, then what you understand is that God brings those things in your life to mature you. But what happens is people get stuck, and they get stuck there. And grace is God taking what has been lost or what needs to be restored in our lives, and restoring those things back to us, that which we've lost. Now, I don't know about you, but as I've walked through God, even before I came to Christ, there were certain things that became lost in my life. When I've walked with God, there are things, the decisions that I've made, there's been loss in my life. Some of you may have lost a spouse, or maybe you have lost a relationship. Or maybe during your course of your walk with God, you have walked out on God or turned back on God and came back. Or maybe you've had relationship problems or this or that has happened in your life. And what happens is you've suffered this loss, and this loss has came into your life. But what has happened is we don't understand restoration, and we don't understand recovery. We don't understand grace. So we become stuck. And so restoration is one of the common themes that you see running all through Scripture. God is always running through Scripture. And when you read Scripture, God is always restoring things back to people. Now, when most preachers talk about restoration, most people think they're talking about stuff. getting your stuff back. It's not all about getting your stuff back. Occasionally, that happens, right? God will bring restoration back into your life. And the things that were lost, maybe in a material way, God finds a way to restore that back to your life. There's times that that happens. But what God is talking about when he talks about restoration and restoration of your life is not always about stuff. Joel said that what? God will restore what? The time. God will restore that which the locusts have stolen. And he will redeem the time. How does God redeem the time in your life? How does God do that? How does God redeem time or things that have been lost in our lifespan? So God has given us a lifespan. He's given us time. The Bible says this. It says it's appointed unto man, right? Wants to die, and then the judgment. It means that our time on earth here is appointed. It doesn't mean that you have a physical appointment. The word actually means that there is a reserved time, an awaiting time. Now, if you're in this building and you're 19 years old, that might not mean anything to you. If you're 20, it still may not mean anything to you. But if you're 30 years old, you begin scratching your head, realizing, hey, that might mean something. If you're 40, you know exactly what I'm talking about, redeeming the time. If you're 50, you're already crying, going, oh, God, help me. I wish I was back in my 20s again. Right? So sometimes we find out later on how important time is in our life. And then we realize that we have to get back that which is stolen or that which has been a tragedy in our life, that God wants to redeem and restore the years that have been stolen in our life. And there's two types of restoration. There's the restoration where the Bible says that when Adam sinned, what? Salvation was lost. And Jesus, what? He restored us back to right relationship with God. That's restoration. He restored. He restored us back. Then there's restitution. Restitution is that what the enemy has stolen? It means that he has to give back. Y'all remember the story of Zacchaeus? The Bible said Zacchaeus was a wee little man, was he? And a wee little man was Zacchaeus. I don't know all the song, but y'all do. He climbed up a tree, saw Jesus. Jesus told him to come down and said, Zacchaeus, salvation is coming to your house today. Everybody went to Zacchaeus' house, ate banana pudding, and it was all good. And Zacchaeus gave what? He gave back fourfold what he had taken, right? Restitution. The Bible says this in Proverbs 6. If a thief can be found, then he must give back sevenfold what he was taken and what he has taken. And so God wants to restore and bring back. Listen, everyone in this room, somewhere in the course of your walk with God, you've lost something. Something's been damaged, or something's been lost, or there's been a failure or a mistake, or you've walked through a tragedy, or something that has happened in your life that has called you to become stuck at one point. Or that you've written it off as just being lost. Or you've written it off that you can't break through that. Or maybe you're here this morning and that thing has followed you year after year after year. And you've never been able to break through that thing. I know people that have left church and walked out of church and they've been gone for years. And there's a sense of loss, a sense of broken fellowship that have happened in their life. But how many know the grace of God? God just doesn't leave us stuck where we've been lost, or stuck in what we have lost, or stuck in what the devil has stolen from us. God wants to restore back to you, back the right fellowship and relationship with everything the enemy has stolen from you. But we have to understand grace in that. We have to understand how the process of grace works in our life and works in your life. And here in Mark chapter 3, we see Jesus. He walks into the synagogue. And he walks into the synagogue. Now, y'all stay with me for a minute this morning. He walks into the synagogue, and Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus saw this man with a withered hand. And the Bible said they watched him closely, whether or not he would heal on the Sabbath, and so that they might be able to accuse him. And they watched him. And the Bible, this man's a little bit different than those that Jesus had dealt with before. You notice that when you read the gospel, there's always somebody bringing somebody to Jesus, wanting them to be healed, right? A daughter being brought, or a, or a servant being brought, or somebody coming up and begging, or like blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, Jesus. And they're like, shut up, blind boy, Jesus, even louder. And Jesus heals, finds him and heals him, right? But here it says that Jesus is in a synagogue and he sees a man with a withered hand. In other words, he sees a man that is sitting there and he has this loss of his hand. And Jesus sees him. And Jesus calls for him and tells him and calls him out and tells him to come. And it's amazing how a lot of times we become comfortable with what we've lost and learn how to adapt and live with that. But yet Jesus doesn't like it that we live without it. Jesus was more concerned about that man's lost hand than probably he was. Because of the fact he learned to live without it. He learned to adapt with it. He learned how to maneuver with it and live his life with it. And you know, there's a lot of us who like that. We take that which we've lost or that which has been a handicap in our life, and instead of asking Jesus to restore it, y'all help me, we just accept it and adapt to it and never want to change in that area. In other words, we say, well, it's all right that the devil stole it. It's all right the devil's got my kids. It's all right the devil has taken from me. It's all right that I've got this deficiency in mine. It's all right that I've got a withered hand here or I've got a withered hand there. How many know sometimes Jesus is more concerned about your handicap than you are? And we become more comfortable with it than what Jesus is. And so this man, he had a withered hand. Jesus called for him to come forward. And I believe this man resolved to the fact that this is what his plot in life was. And so you may be here this morning and you've just accepted that fact. You've just accepted the fact that you're just going to settle with what the plot of your life is and that you're not going to allow God to take you any further or move you beyond where you are now. I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus doesn't want you stuck where you are in your loss and in your disappointment. He wants you to move forward. And it's by grace that moves you there. By the grace of God this morning. And so Jesus turns to this man. And Jesus says to him, he says, stretch out your hand. And amazingly, in the presence of Jesus, it's amazing. Jesus tells him to stretch out his hand. It's amazing how Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, people know what hand to put out. Now, Jesus didn't qualify that. He didn't say, put out your withered hand. He didn't say, put out your hand that's been chopped off or your hand that has been lost. Jesus said, put out your hand. And he just automatically knew what Jesus was talking about. All of a sudden, isn't it amazing how we, all people know what when they're in the presence of Jesus, what hand to put out. But if we sometimes we walk up in church, and Jesus begins to deal with our loss, or our withered hand, or our deficiency, or our handicap. And Jesus and the Spirit of God is saying, put out your hand, and we put out the other one. Hiding what our deficiency is. Hiding what our failure is. Hiding what our mistake has been. Because we get to the place to where Jesus didn't qualify that. He said, stretch out your hand. Because in most churches, most people are not mature enough to where if they knew what your bad hand was, right? Most churches are not mature enough to handle the fact to know what your bad hand is in this building this morning. If folks knew what your weakness was this morning, there's a lot of churches that couldn't handle the fact of what might be your weakness this morning. And so what we do in church, we learn behavior modification. When Jesus says, stretch out your withered hand, or when Jesus pulls on our life to stretch out that thing that's been a deficiency in our life, we just switch hands and put out the good one because we don't want nobody to know that we've got a deficiency in our life. I ain't got no love this morning. Y'all got banana pudding on your mind. Right? And we just hold on. We hold back. We hold back that sense of loss in our life, that sense of failure or that thing that has kept us back in the walking and freedom and what God has for us. In other words, he told him to stretch out his hand and he stretched out his hand. And Jesus said to him, he said, step forward. And when that man began to step forward, the Bible says that his hand was healed. No. What did it say? It was restored. It wasn't healed, but it was restored. He asked him, he said, step forward. And when he stepped forward, his hand was restored. It wasn't healed. There was a time that that hand was enough, right? I mean, there's no hand there. And the Bible says that he restored it. In other words, the word restored there means to put back to previous state. In other words, to put it back the way that it was, or to put it to a previous state. If he healed it, he would have just replaced it. But the Bible says he restored it. In other words, he put it back to the state that it was. And for us to have something restored means that we have to come face to face with that area in our life that needs to be restored or put back to right position. Right? The word actually means to be restructured. He restructured it. He brought forth restoration into that man's hand. And I guarantee you this, it wasn't like the old hand. I guarantee you that Jesus brought it back better than what it was before. And he stretched that hand out, and there was restoration that was in that hand. There was a restructuring in that hand. You can't use the old structure because it's what puts you in the position that you were in the first place. See, a lot of times when we suffer loss in our life, when we think that Jesus restores it, he just doesn't restore what Jesus puts back in our life. He restructures that thing. And you say, what does it mean to be restructured? It means the reason that Jesus, you can't just, listen, if you have a failure in marriage or a loss in your relationship, or you've had a loss in some failure or mistake in your life, when it's restored back to you, you can't begin to use that thing under the same structure that it was before. Right? How many know that that thing has to be restructured, has to be rebuilt? You can't, listen, when God restores something in your life, you can't go back and do the same thing that cost you to lose it in the first place. Right? How many know God restores your marriage? You can't go back doing what you did before that got your marriage in a mess before. Right? How many know God restores your mind? You can't go back doing what you used to do that got your mind where it was before. How many know when you lost your job because of a mistake, you can't go back and live the same way you used to live before? Why? Because when Jesus restores something, he just doesn't restore it, but he restructures it. And that's what God wants to do with loss in our life. He restructures back into our life. And so you may look good today, and most of you do. But the truth is, all of us have some area in our life we want God to change, right? All of us have some area in our life where there's been a sense of loss in our life or failure in our life, and we want God to bring restoration back into that area. But when he does, we've got to restructure our life differently. And do it a different way. How many know that you can't continue to go back and begin to do the same things that you had done before once that God restructures it? And the Bible says that he stepped forward. He stepped forward. It says as he stepped forward, restoration came. In other words, here he had been stuck where he was, and when he stepped forward, God began to bring restoration. A lot of times in our lives, it's a matter of just stepping forward and allowing God to do the work. Coming to the point of allowing God that there's a process, that the beginning point in which God uses in order to bring restoration to our life. Somehow or another, Jesus recognized that whatever happened to this guy, whatever happened to him, kept him stuck where he was. You know how we know he was stuck? Because he sat in the synagogue and he wasn't worried about his hand. He was just comfortable with it. So he just remained where he was and was satisfied with the place in which he was. And that thing which took his hand off in the beginning, he wasn't too concerned about. He was just satisfied with where he was. And sometimes you just got to step forward. and allow God to begin that process of restoration in your life and begin that process of God restoring back to you what the enemy has stolen and what he has taken away from you. I don't know about you this morning, but I know that in my walk with God, there's things that have happened in my life that has become in the process of my life I have lost because of decisions that I have made. And there are times that I have walked with God and I've hid those things behind the scenes and I've become satisfied with where they led me, where I ended up, and how I was walking with God. I became satisfied and stuck with where I was in God. Some of you have faced difficulty and failure in your life, and what you've done, you've decided that you're going to reside right where you are. You're not going to move any further with God. You've just decided you're going to set up camp right there and not let God take you any further than where you are. I've seen people that have been on fire for God and used of God in church and in the midst of being used of God, and they go through a difficulty and they end up sitting on the back row, never going forward in God again. You know why? Because they stuck. They've got a withered hand. They've got a hand that was once functional and once useful, but once that thing got chopped off, they felt like they weren't useful anymore. They felt like it was a failure, that nobody was going to understand. Nobody was going to help them break through. Nobody was going to understand the fact of what happened to them and why it happened to them. And the problem is that sometimes they're right, because we have people in church who never let people get through the mistakes they make. And so we would rather keep them on the back row. Come on, you all help me this morning. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Unless you're perfect. Is everybody perfect in this room this morning? How many know? Listen, there are times in my life where I pouted and had a pity party and sat back and said, God, I'm not going to do that anymore. I got hurt because I did that. I stepped out and they offended me or made me mad. And so I sat back in the back row and I've got a chopped off hand, not doing anything for God, just sitting there. But I don't know if that's you this morning. Some of you may have served God and worked with God, but you've just stepped back now. You've just pushed back on God. And you said, well, I'll just be part of the crowd. I'll just be back here where nobody sees me, where there's no accountability, where I don't no demand on my life, where I don't have to do anything. But, if you're in the synagogue and you're in the house, there'll be a day when Jesus comes back to you and he'll say to you, hey, it's time to step forward, time to move forward. Stretch out that withered hand, that thing that has been broken and destroyed in your life. It's time to bring restoration back to that thing. You know, I get real frustrated at times because I'll see people who have great calls of God on their life and they could be used in the church. But they feel like because they've made a mistake that they can't be used of God anymore. Huh? Am I got the right people this morning? They just sit on the back row. They think God can't use them anymore. They failed in a relationship or they failed in doing something. They're embarrassed by something that happened in their life. And so what do? Do we just put them on a shelf? Do we just throw a label on them? And let them just every once in a while stretch out their good hand to shake? See, that's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to push back and sit back and never engage again in the things of God. And he wants you to sit back and pull back. And the reason is, and those of you that do that, let me say this, you don't know what grace is. Right? There's been many times, Gene, that I've walked with God as a pastor, I've made a mistake, or I've done something, or I did this or did that, or there's been a loss in my life, or there's been some type of thing in my life that the devil has stolen, and I've wanted to go crawl in a hole. And the devil would want you to do that. But I got good news for you this morning. I've got great news for you this morning. If you'll just step forward and just take that withered hand that has been such a loss in your life and give it to Jesus, he won't heal it. He'll restore it and bring it back and restructure that thing to be used of God. There needs to be some restructuring in some of our lives this morning. And I'll just tell you, I mean, people get discouraged with the church. I don't blame you. I'm telling you, they get on fire for God, or they get committed to God, and all of a sudden the first obstacle in their life, all of a sudden, boom, a loss of something. Let me tell you, in the hour we live in, I want to tell you the greatest messages that are preached are not going to be sermons that come from the pulpit. You want to know what the greatest messages are going to be? The greatest messages are going to be from people who have walked out restoration in their life, who have gone through hell in their life, who have walked and fought the devil through anything, but yet they seem to know how to get up and break through and let God break them through, and their life becomes a testimony. They become, as Paul said, a living epistle. That's the greatest messages that are going to be preached in our day. It's not going to come from the oratory of a pastor who understands Greek and Hebrew. All of that's good, and it's all got his season. But let me tell you something. God is getting ready to raise a church up that understands what grace is and what understands what it is in your life to break through and allow God to apply that to your life. Now, I knew it'd be tight in here this morning. I feel it. Y'all pushing back on me. I feel it. That's why I'm coming down here, because I'm coming after you. Right? I ain't scared. You're not going to intimidate me. I'm not scared. But some of you need this morning. Some of you need to understand that what you did 20 years ago is 20 years ago. You got to let that baby ride and let that thing be buried and take that withered hand and give it to God. Let him restore that thing back. You've got to understand that it doesn't matter what Johnny says, or Sister Bucketmouth, or Loony Lily, or whoever else is in the congregation that wants to bring up every time you failed and made a mistake in your life, or that every time that you've not done something right wants to bring it up, and every time, and then all of a sudden you hear them talk and you back off. Guess what? You're going to have enemies, right? I know it's hard to believe. I know y'all going to find this hard to believe, because it shocks me every day. Not everybody in Madison likes me. Right? Yeah, really. I'm just as shocked as you are. And guess what? Not everybody in Madison is in your corner. Huh? Matter of fact, let's just get real. Not everybody in your family is in your corner. Huh? Come on. Yeah, you know. You know. Well, he's always been a failure. He's always done this. He don't know how to commit to anything. He don't know how to stay committed. How many know every family's got the reporter in your family? Everybody's got a reporter, right? They let everybody in the family know what everybody else is doing and keep you up to date on all your failures, all the mistakes you've made in your life, so that they can take a poll whether or not what you're going through is legitimate or not. Every family's got one, right? But how many know it doesn't matter what other folks are saying? It doesn't matter what other people are thinking. I'm telling you, that man sat there in the synagogue with a withered hand, and there the Pharisees sat, and in come Jesus, and here sat this man with a withered hand. He just sat there in his place. Here he's thinking that he had to be, because he had a withered hand, that he was less than the Pharisees or less than those that sat there. And all of a sudden, Jesus, out of the blue, comes out. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says they waited to see if Jesus was going to heal him? It wasn't a healing. It was a restoration. Ha ha! They had it wrong anyway. They didn't even discern the thing right anyway. Jesus said, this ain't no healing. I'm not repairing something that's broke. I'm giving the guy a brand new life. I'm giving him something that you don't understand. And I want to tell you something this morning. I appreciate all the people that like to speak into my life. But let me tell you, Jesus is the one who changed me. Jesus is the one that made a difference in my life. Jesus is the one that brought me through what I went through and what I walked through. And you may be able to comment on what I went through, but you don't understand the battle that I fought. You don't understand what I've had to walk through or what you had to walk through in order to get where you are in God. Some people just ain't going to understand the road that you've been down in order to get where you are. Huh? But we always got opinion on it. I don't want to tell you, half the people in my life have no idea what I've walked through, what I've gone through, what I've mentally gone through. And so they don't determine who I am in God. Just like nobody determines who you are in God. That's why when I get in church, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to give God my all. And I know you don't understand it. Some may not understand why they're down here dancing in the middle of the floor. And you sitting back there going, oh my God, does she got to dance every service? Huh? Right? Or the woman who sings out of key that's right behind you, does she got to be so loud every time we get to singing? Huh? Or what's wrong with that brother running around the church every time something gets happy or somebody, doesn't he know how to stay in his seat? Right? Yeah, I know. I've got the right crowd, Donna. They're just not admitting it. Right? Aha. But they know something you don't know. And the reason they worship like that, Tom, and the reason why they worship like that, Gene, and the reason why they get happy like that, why they dance like they dance and run like they run, why they get excited when they feel the Holy Ghost moving, why it makes them so happy to run and get to church, why they knock everybody down coming through the door so they can get the seat that they want to get. You know why? They know something you don't. And you know what they know? They know what it's like to live with a withered hand and to live with a hand that's not whole. And they know what it's like to walk into the presence of God and get back what they lost. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to preach a minute. I'm going to get back what I lost. They know what it's like to be restored. They know what it's like for Jesus to come down and touch them. And it's got nothing to do with you. And it's got nothing to do with me. But just the restoration of God. Oh my. I was thinking this week, I'm going to catch my breath. Dave, I'm not cold. I'm hot, bro. It's hot in here, y'all. I need some oxygen. I'm just getting my second wind. Y'all ready? I heard somebody say something. I was listening to a scholar this week, a guy who I love to listen, teach the Bible. And Don would appreciate this. He said, the word for ark in the Old Testament means coffin. That's what it means, coffin. And y'all know that God said to them, he said, come into the ark. He didn't say, go into the ark. He said, come into the ark. It was an invitation. He said, come into the ark. And how many know that when Noah got into that ark, the word means coffin, it means death, it means place of death. I don't know about you, when I got saved, I began to die. I began to die to my own will. I began to die to my own desires. I began to die to my own life. I began to die with the way I think, to think the way that Jesus thinks. The process in my life began to change. Jesus began to change me inside out. There were things that began to die in my life. And I went in and I walked into the spiritual ark under the covering of Jesus, who said, come whosoever will. Come whosoever will. Come whosoever will. But if you're going to come, you're going to be a disciple. If you're going to be a disciple, there's going to be things in your life that you're going to die in order for you to become a disciple. And they got into that ark, and they threw those doors closed, and the death process began. And what began to happen is that all of a sudden they threw those doors closed and God began to kill everything that was on the outside of that ark. And you know what that represents? Everything in your past. Everything in your yesterday. Everything before you walked onto the ark. Everything before you walked into Jesus. God created a flood to flood that stuff out and flood out so that when that door opens again, you'll be walking into a new life, a new day, a new world that you've never known and you've never experienced before. It was a restoration of life. And it was a matter of just stepping forward. It was a matter of just stepping forward and allowing God to work in your life and allow God to transform your life. Father, restructure us this morning. Take the restoration in our lives, God, and restructure us. So that, Father, we don't fall back into the same thing again. Father, I'm willing to make the changes in my life that need to be made in order for me to step out and be who you want me to be. And I thank you, Father, this morning. Thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for life-changing moments of grace. But Lord, we embrace the process this morning. We embrace the journey of grace. And I pray, God, that you'll continue to move in grace in everyone in this room's life. Father, we thank you. And Father, bless this food as we about partake it as a fellowship. May you bless the hands that have prepared it. Bless the hands that have served it. Now, Father, we just pray that, Father, that you'll enhance our fellowship as a church. I thank you for those that came to become a part of our body today. We embrace them this morning. Thank you that you've entrusted us with their lives. Now, Father, we release the blessing of God in your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody said, amen.